To the end of our New Year series, which we have called I Have Decided. So basically, I Have Decided is God giving us grace and us taking that grace and having responsibility to decide to serve God and different titles that we attach to the I Have Decided. Last time I spoke on I Have Decided on one thing. And that one thing is God. If we put God first, He is able to empower us to achieve that one goal in life that will change our lives. Today I'm going to be speaking on I Have Decided to Find My Purpose. So purpose is what gives us direction towards our goals. Purpose is like fuel that helps us reach our destination. Purpose is eternal, something that lasts. Goals are something that are temporary. When we achieve one goal, we go to the next. So many of us here probably think, well, I've passed that point in life where I've already found my purpose. Let me just suggest that there are many, many accomplished people that do not know what their purpose in life is. Dr. Hugh Moorhead, who is a former philosophy professor at Northeast Illinois University, he asked some of the greatest minds of his generation that included philosophers, scientists, intellectuals, people that have achieved much. He asked them this question, what is the meaning of life? He then published the responses in his book called The Meaning of Life According to Our Century's Greatest Writers and Thinkers. And here's an excerpt from his book. He says, some of these people whom I interviewed, some of them just guessed. Some admitted that they just made up a purpose for their lives. And others were honest enough to say that they were clueless. In fact, a number of famous intellectuals asked me, Professor Moorhead, to write back and tell them if I have discovered my purpose in life. So I have decided to find my purpose. Let me pray. Sitting before me, God, are precious people that have accomplished much in life. I am humbled to be able to even share with them, because I feel like they have much to teach me instead of the other way around. However, God, this morning I have faithfully prepared a sermon that I ask that you use to speak to the very parts of their souls that they have need. So help me, God, to deliver your words, no more and no less, according to your will, to encourage and exhort your people today. And the Lord's people said, prayed, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and amen. I have decided to find my purpose based on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 18, and Romans 12, 2. In Florida, there used to be these greyhound dog races. During these races, they would let out a mechanical rabbit first so that the dogs would have a target to focus on and chase until the finish line. In this one particular race, in the middle of the race, the mechanical rabbit explodes. And it just threw off all the dogs. Dog number one twirled around, ran through the inner fence, and broke his ribs. Dog number two turned to the audience and howled at them. Oh! Dog number three slumped over and just sat down. Not one of the dogs finished the race. Isn't this a picture of life without a rabbit to chase? You can run through a fence and break something. You can be self-destructive. You can turn to a crowd of people and you can howl at them. You can criticize them. You can angrily berate them. You are other destructive. Or you can just slump over, sit down, and be depressed. Some type of learned helplessness. You know, one of the most important things for you and I to have in this life is to know a vision and a purpose. Proverbs 29:18, the New King James Version, says this. King Solomon says, where there is no vision, the people perish. When you don't have a vision, you're dying silently inside. You say to yourself, what am I here on this earth for? Why do I even wake up in the morning? You're just existing. Nothing really matters to you. Let's look at another version. I would say a more accurate version of this verse found in the NIV interpretation. Where there is no revelation, a people cast off restraint. That is powerful. When you don't have a revelation from God that you understand, you just say to yourself, I don't know why I exist. I don't know what I'm here on this earth for. I don't know why I was born. I don't even know why I wake up. Because of that, because I don't know, nothing really matters. I'm open to everything. In fact, I'm going to cast off all my restraints. The word revelation here, chazon, in the Hebrew means dream, vision, and revelation. Now, it's very important that this must not be self-focused. It must be God-focused. It must be submitted under God's word. It cannot be from selfish pride. You cannot get a dream and a vision from self-help books. You cannot get a dream and a vision or revelation even from Christian books that are self-centered. In fact, Romans 8:6 says, obsession with the self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Even atheist Bertrand Russell said, unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. So we're Christians, right? We presume that there is a God, right? The question then is, do you, since you already assume a God, do you have a dream, a vision, a revelation for your life? Do you have a rabbit to chase? Because a vision for your life will give you two things, will bring you two things. A vision for your life will bring you focus. When you don't have a vision, people are going to ask you, how are you doing? Your response, I'm tired. I'm tired because I'm busy doing everyone else's vision. When you don't have a vision for life, everyone else will have a vision for you. Your boss will have a vision for you, and it's not what you signed up for. Your employees, if you're the boss, your employees, even your clients will have a vision for you. And most of the times, it's not reasonable. Your family, friends, neighbors, people with stronger personalities than you will have a vision for you, and you'll always end up losing out. Even when you go to the stores, the products there will shout out their vision for you. Buy me, and every time you will buy. It's truth. See, when you have a vision, you are able to discern to say no to random things that come in your life and to say yes to purposeful things. Focus. A vision for your life will also bring you fulfillments. You know, many people, if you've lived long enough, we've looked to fulfill our lives with all the wrong things. We tried it all. You might have had focus, but for some reason you hit the wrong target. You spent all your energies on this one target and it didn't turn out to be what you expected. There's a story of 2004, Athens, Greece. Matthew Hemmons represented the U.S. team, I believe, in the rifle competition. And he was far and above better than everyone else. In fact, he was so good when it came to the last round, all he had to do was hit the target, anywhere on the target, and he wins the gold medal. And these people have an amazing ability to lower their heart rate, to glow all the way down so that they can focus. And that's what Matthew did. He came to the last round. All he had to do was hit the target anywhere. So he calms down. He lowers his heart rate. He focuses. And he shoots. Bam! Bullseye. Hits it right in the middle. There's only one problem. He hit the wrong target. It means that he went from first place to eighth place and he didn't get any medals. That's pretty sad. I have good news for you. For those of you that have spent much energies on the wrong target, Ephesians 1:1-12 says, "It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for." Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us. He had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. That's amazing. You know that we are God's design? That we are God's masterpiece? It doesn't matter what age group you're in. It doesn't matter what you have struggled with in your life. It doesn't matter what targets you have hit that were wrong. You are God's ultimate design. God is literally designing you right now. Your life is not finished. It's like if you were a basket that God is weaving, you know, whatever target that you put all your energy, all your focus on, and you hit it, but it was the wrong target, and you feel like you've lost a lot in your life, that was only one thread in your life. The end product is right here. God is not done with you yet. And because He is not, let's go into our main passage today in Ephesians 5. I have decided to not dwell on my past. I have decided not to dwell on the mistakes that I have made. It's the new year. I'm going to focus towards the future. I have decided, in fact, to find my purpose. Let's then look at this passage in Ephesians. We'll start with verse 8. Apostle Paul says, "For you were once in darkness." You were once. That is past. In the past, you were in a cloud. You sinned. You missed the target. But now, today, you have given your life over to Christ. Today, 2019, in Orange County, you are a light. That is your identity. Then, live as children of light. I have a question for you. I have to ask myself. Do you identify with darkness or do you identify with light? Many of us don't even have to answer. Many of us still identify with darkness. I can see it in your countenance. I can see it in your postures. I can see it in your expressions, the things that you say, and in your language. You can choose to continue to go that way, but you're really setting yourself up for failure. It's really up to you. We must consciously choose to live as children of light, Paul says. Because verse 9 says, "For the fruit of the light consists goodness, righteousness, and truth." And the truth is, God is still sowing more threads in your life. The truth is, there are still more rabbits to chase. So then, verse 10, "Find out what pleases the Lord." Make it your ambition today to bring light into your life. Conversely, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Bring them into the light so that you can see them. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. You know, all of us have those dark places. Those dark places which only you know. It's secret. Verse 13 says, but everything exposed by this light then becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Expose them. Have trusted friends that you can share with, that can keep you accountable, that can support you, and that can pray for you. I have a few of those, who I can share with. I know they won't condemn me, but I know they will pray for me and support me, and they will also keep me accountable. Verse 14, Ephesians chapter 5 says, this is why it is said. This is really my message to you today. Wake up, O sleeper. Wake up for those of you who are sleeping. Wake up for those of you, who have no direction. Wake up for those of you who have no vision, who have no purpose, and rise from the dead. It's 2019, not 2018. And Christ will shine on you. Some of us are like the walking dead. You know, you're walking around, coming to church as a routine, but you don't know why you exist. You don't even know, why you wake up in the morning. So it's easier, it's more comfortable to stay in your darkness. Verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Here's an encouragement if we're careful. In your quest to discover God's vision, God is going to give you many, many opportunities to find it if you follow this prescription, this game plan that is here. Verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish. But he repeats it again. Understand what God's will is. Understand what God's vision, understand what God's purpose for you is. Go ahead and ask him. Go ahead and look into his word and discover it. Conversely, verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. That word, extreme indulgences with our five senses. You know, don't let your feelings, don't let your appetites, teach you or make decisions for you. Don't let your five senses master you anymore. Instead, be filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Instead, be filled. What is the Spirit? It literally means God's breath. That same word found in Genesis 2:27, when God breathed life into man's nostrils, through man's nostrils, and Adam became alive. So here are two questions that I have. That if you ask yourself and you answer, if it doesn't take you all the way there, it will at the least put you on a quest to discover God's vision for your life. What are these two questions? Question number one. What am I doing that I should not be doing? So, you know, many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we're probably doing something currently that we should not be doing. You know, how do I put this delicately? Many of us are living a life that we are not intended to live. We're just existing. Oh, well, I have given up. Nothing really matters. It's easier to stay comfortable in this darkness. Because no one will find out my struggles, and I'll be okay just to coast until the day I die. No. No, no, no. God has come to free you from your past. God has come to free you from all those targets that you hit that were wrong. God has given you renewed focus. God is dynamic. He desires to give you new vision and purpose. The problem is, we have all this junk in our lives. We need to expose it. Because hiding behind our junk is God's vision for your life. So in 2019, can you just say to yourself, I'm not going to bring that junk with me anymore. This is my year. Let's take a look at what I just said from scriptures. It's always good to go back to scriptures and submit to it. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not be worldly. Get away from this world's junk. Get away from the things that are holding you from discovering God's will. Because hiding behind, right, this is what's keeping you from being transformed. So you have to be transformed by what? By renewing your mind. Then, I left this word alone on purpose so that you can see what happens then if I decide that I am going to stop doing the things that I should not be doing. What happens then if I decide to get away from all my junk? What happens then is that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Hiding behind all your junk is God's vision for you. You just have to remove it and it will become more clear. Will you agree with me? In 2019, I'm not going to let the internet cause me to sin that way again. In 2019, I'm not going to let this destructive relationship get in my way again. I'm going to abandon this destructive relationship. In 2019, I'm not going to allow my five senses to master me anymore. This is my year. I need to make a decision now. I need to have a decided heart to get away from my junk and to become well. Question number two that we can ask in our quest to discover God's will would be, what am I not doing that I should be doing? I'm not just creating these questions for you. I actually have to ask myself these questions also. I had to answer them. Let's continue with Romans chapter 12:2. So you do not conform to the ways of this world, but you're transformed by what? By renewing your mind. You know, we have to really replace the bad with the good. We can't just leave the bad and stay there. We have to replace the junk food in our lives with healthy food. I had a friend back in the college days. I'll call her Sheila. You know, Sheila considered red meat to be bad for her, so she stopped eating red meat, only to replace it with ice cream and chocolate and soda. That's all she ate, chocolate, ice cream, and soda. You can't really replace vice with vice. You have to replace vice with God and the things of God and the Word of God. Look what James says. James 4:17. If anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and do not do it and doesn't do it, it is sin to them. He's such a blunt, practical pastor. He doesn't roam around in the theological well. He just tells you like it is. You know, he even says in another part, I think, you know, faith without works is dead. Even the demons believe in God. So they're not going to go to heaven, right? You have to actually act out. You actually have to do what you say you believe. Right? So would you agree with me, right, that this is a year that we're going to allow the Holy Spirit of God to come and replace everything that we struggle with, and we're going to have friends. I mean, here's the question, right? Here's the question. What should I do this year that are going to replace my junk? I have three practical things I think is very important. We really, really should make church our first priority. It's easier said than done because us Americans, we like to travel. There's nothing wrong with traveling. We have the resources to do it. Let's do it and have fun. But we really have to make church our priority. I mean, even when I go on vacations on Sundays, I try to find a church in the particular area that I'm visiting. We also have to make small groups our priority. And some churches call them life groups because it brings life. And if you're not in a small group for whatever reason, we should be involved with some other community in church that's able to help us. And then we should all try to find trusted friends whom we can share with, who can keep us accountable, who can pray for us, who can support us. At the base of all of this is really empowerment. We need to be empowered and encouraged to do the things of God. And when we're empowered, we go off on the side a little bit, we do too much, then we have some accountability. Let me bring this talk to a conclusion. 2019, Orange County. This is the moment. This is the moment that God has created for you and I. It's the last of the I Have Decided talk series. It's time for us to make a decision in our heart. I don't know where you're at. If I was a humble man, which I'm not many times, I always have to ask myself these two questions, right? We can't wait for tomorrow. You know, some of us procrastinate because we have a tendency to over-exaggerate our past and overestimate our futures. But we have to come back to this moment, right now, right here, present, which is what counts in God's eyes. And He has forgiven you of your past. So the question is, will you make a decision today? Make a decision to rediscover, renew God's vision and will for you. Let's close our eyes, bow in prayer. If I can have Alex come and strum the guitar a little bit. May we ask ourselves these two questions. I think a truly humble person, man or woman, will ask themselves this question on at least a semi-annual basis. The first question is, what am I doing that I should not be doing? What am I doing that I should not be doing? The second question is, what am I not doing that I should be doing? First question is, what am I doing that I should not be? Second question is, what am I not that I should be? My hope is that in this time of reflection, or you choose to reflect on these two questions more when you go home, my hope is that God will reveal to you what are the excess things, the junk that we have accumulated in our lives that needs to be removed. Because behind all of that is God's vision and purpose for you. The fuel that will move you towards accomplishing your goals. The fuel that will move you towards your desired destination. God, sitting before me are people that are accomplished, that I feel vulnerable when I speak to them because they have accomplished so much, and I have a trepidation when I speak to them that I can't teach them anything new. But God, sitting before me also are people that are human. People that bleed. People that have a desire to live well. To have a good life. To serve you well. To honor you. And so God, I just pray that wherever they're at right now spiritually, only you know. You even know more than them. I just pray that wherever they are at spiritually right now, God, that you would help them. Speak right into that part of their souls that has a need for healing. Heal your people right now, God. Encourage them, uplift them, exhort them into love and good deeds. Because I know, God, that you have more threads that you're sowing in their lives, and you have more rabbits for them to chase. So I commit, we, God, as a weak and vulnerable people, recommit our lives to you right now. We have decided, God, in 2019, to not dwell on our past, and to discover your vision and your purpose. In so doing, God, we humble ourselves before you and we serve you and we move forward in our lives until one day we can run into your arms and you look at us in our face and you say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's our desire, God. Thank you so much. Bless your people today. Bless them as they move forward the rest of the day. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.